Well, we're going to hear Pastor Derek in a few moments, and it's just been a great day, hasn't it? It's great to see some friends from that I knew in College Point when I was living in Queens, New York, 23 years ago. Chris and Jack were there, and Chris kept me and Gina alive.
No, you want it? No.
Well, imagine yourself on the Highlands with the English about to murder you. I know it's hard, right?
Okay, the year is 1297. And William Wallace has just amassed an army of men to repel the tyranny of England as they try to overrun Scotland. The geography is that they're placed just on the southern side of Stirling Castle at Stirling Bridge. And Wallace is trying to rally the troops. And so he rides in front of the troops and he says this to them. "I am William Wallace. Sons of Scotland, will you fight with me? Will you ride with me? Aye, fight and you may die. Run and you may live, at least for a while. Would you, years from now, dying in your beds, trade all the days from this to that, to come back for one chance, just one chance, to say to your enemy, you may take our lives, but you'll never take our freedom!" Now, there is some of that will be Hollywood rhetoric, but there is truth in that, that even for us as Christians, we need to hear the message that's in there, because so often we let our fear rob us of our future. And when the troops were gathered there, what they didn't see at that time was that the valley was covered in mist. And when the mist lifted, they saw the enormity of the English army. And fear overtook them. And they said, "We can't fight that many." And so it is for us as Christians. Often when we suddenly, when the mist lifts from our lives, we see what we think we can't fight. But when you see with your heart and not your eyes, and you put your faith in God, it's like what Pastor Andy started the whole thing with on Friday night. And we sang that song, "We're No Longer a Slave to Fear." It's understanding that this conference is here to take away fear. So that we can all be impacted and changed. So we can move to the next level and lose some of the fear that the enemy wants to paralyze us with. So although it was 1297, it's still current today.
There we go. That's a great speech. And then we took the country and it became England. But moving on. That's a great speech. Roy appreciated that one there. And then we took the country and it became England. But there we go. Are you ready for Pastor Derek Smith? Come on, let's put it together. Pastor Derek.
I can't believe we celebrated that speech. That rebellious country called Scotland that will not submit to English rule. And hi, I'm from a little country called England. We ruled the world before you did. And We love America, well, most of them. And what I want to do is kind of try and pull together today. We've had some great sessions, haven't we? It's been a real treat and a feast. And then we want to give you enough time to get back tonight, get washed, changed, put some deodorant on. It's not a sin. I remember when I first became a Christian, the church I was in was quite religious and legalistic. And they used to think it was a sin for women to wear makeup. I personally feel it's a sin if some women don't wear makeup. Do whatever you want. So I'm going to pull it together. And No, I'm being serious. Cindy, read Deuteronomy. It's all in there. All about women. There was an atheist who used to go to church on a Sunday night with his wife. She nagged him. He went to church. And he was really bored, used to sit at the back, and the pastor would preach great messages about eternity in heaven, and he thought, what a load of rubbish. But one day he got really moved, and he came down to the front. He said to the pastor, Pastor, you've nearly convinced me to become a Christian, but there's just one thing I've got to ask, because I need to know this before I want to go to heaven. And so the pastor said to him, what is it? He said, I just need to know before I make a decision. I need to know, are there golf courses in heaven, because I'm a golfer and I don't want to go to heaven if there's no golf courses. You've got to let me know. Will you go and ask God? Will you ask God if there's any golf courses in heaven? Then come back and let me know. And if there is, I think I'll become a Christian. So the pastor was wise enough. He said to him, okay, come back next week. So the guy went away for the week. Next Sunday, he was sat on the back row. The pastor preached a great message about heaven. And the guy came down at the end of the service. He said, Pastor, have you prayed? Have you asked God? He says, yep, I've prayed and I've asked God. He said, well, what's the answer? Are there golf courses in heaven? So the pastor said to him, well, I've got good news and bad news. He said, well, give me the good news. What's the good news? He said, well, there are absolutely beautiful 18-hole golf courses in heaven. There's hundreds of them. They're absolutely beautiful. They're better than anything Donald Trump can create. They're absolutely gorgeous. He said, that's fantastic, Pastor. What's the bad news? He says, you're teeing off next Tuesday. Now, Elaine, all the jokes you're getting like a bit later than everybody else. So can we all laugh at the same time? That would be really helpful for... Wonderful. Okay, are we ready? Are we ready to read the Word of God? All right, I want to turn to the book of Joshua, chapter 1, and I'm going to read one passage of Scripture. I'm going to tell you two stories, and then I'm going to pull it all together, and within a five-minute period, God is going to show you the rest of your life, and then we're going to be out of here, get some food, get back, and we're going to have a great meeting tonight. So are you ready? Joshua, chapter 1, says this. After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord said to Joshua, son of Nun, Moses' aide, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now then, you and all these people get ready to cross the Jordan River into the land I am about to give them to the Israelites. I will give you every place where you set your foot, as I promised Moses. Your territory will extend from the deserts of Lebanon and from the great river the Euphrates, all the Hittite country, to the great sea on the east. No one will be able to stand up against you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will never leave you or forsake you. Okay, two stories. Back to that scripture. Pull it together. Done. I don't know. I've got one wife and two children. My daughter's called Abigail. She's 24. My son's Oliver, he's 21, and my wife, can't tell you how old she is, that would be very, she'd never speak to me again. And me and Georgina are very different. I think that's what's kept us together for 27 years. We're very different, we like different things and so. And about a couple of years ago, there was a program on British telly that I know you guys, it's on American television, or it's been on cable, called Downton Abbey. Does anybody ever seen Downton? It's like a period drama of England from the early 1900s on, and she absolutely loved it. She loved it. She watched every episode. It was like shut down in our house. He's late again. It was late in the last session. It's late in this session. Right, just stretch your hand out towards your pastor. Father God, spirit of lateness, come out of him! Okay. So, okay, well, there we go. And so anyway, back to Downton Abbey. So it was on at about 9 o'clock every Sunday night. So our house, 9 o'clock at night, Sunday night, was shut down. Everybody had to be focused on the TV, but I'd be usually at night service or if I had a meeting or anything. So I'd come in about 9:30 at night, Sunday night, hunter-gatherer, male, home, ready for my tea, ready for food. And I'd walk through the door of our house, and all I'd get off my daughter and my wife was this, shh, Downton Abbey's on. And you had to tiptoe around the house till it finished from 9 till 10, because Downton Abbey was like, it was untouchable in our house. And so I got really mad at Downton Abbey. I'd say to my wife, my tea's not ready. I come home from a day of triumph at church. People were saved, the dead were raised. And I come home, and all I get when I come back into my house is, shh. And so I got really bitter towards Downton Abbey. Got really angry with Downton Abbey. And I hated it, because it robbed me of my Sunday night. Last year, we went on a cruise, me and Georgina, for it was 10 years we've been pioneering the church, and the church paid for us to go on a Mediterranean cruise. And we had a luxury cabin. It was absolutely beautiful. We had a TV in the corner. But obviously, there was no live TV. There was just box sets that you could watch. And one of the box sets was Downton Abbey. All six seasons. Six seasons of Downton Abbey. And Georgina said, can I put one on? I went, we're on holiday, go on then. So she put the first one, season one, episode one, Downton Abbey, in the DVD player. And I lay on the bed in my 5-star cabin on my Mediterranean cruise, and I watched a full episode of Downton Abbey. It was brilliant. It was phenomenal. And when the credits came on at the end of the, no! Where's the next one? Get the next one on. And this is absolutely true. I spent more time on this 5-star cruise in my cabin watching Downton Abbey. It'd be like 3 o'clock in the morning, and Georgina said, no, not another one, please. I want to go to sleep. I'd say, love, just one more. Just let me put one more disc in. Just one more episode. Because at the end of each series, you just needed the next one. I felt like a drug addict. I felt like... Downton. I was like... So during the day, Georgina said, do you want to go into Rome, or we'd be in... What beautiful European city. I'm saying, yeah, but can we get back for Downton Abbey? I've never wanted to spend as much time in the bedroom since our honeymoon. Because of Downton Abbey. So I was absolutely transfixed. During that week's cruise, I watched... five seasons of Downton Abbey in 1 week. Hooked. Right, now listen, before we do, Downton Abbey, I want to put it there for a minute, because we're coming back. Joshua chapter 1, Downton Abbey. The second story is this, Max the dog. When my little boy was 10, we bought him a dog. He'd mithered to death for a puppy. He wanted a dog, and I didn't want animals, didn't want any animals, but he wanted a dog. So we eventually gave him and bought him a little puppy, a little King Charles Spaniel, this big, called Max. And it was my son's 10th birthday present. He loved his dog, he looked after it. But it came our family pet. We loved the dog, we took him on holiday with us. He just could run of the house. We loved our dog. And then... a while ago, about a year ago, he got really ill, and we took him to the vets, and the vet said he's not too good, and we gave him some medication. And then I remember being at work on a Tuesday afternoon, and my wife rang me. She said, we've taken the dog to the vets again. The dog said the dog's on his way out. He's going to have a massive heart attack imminent. It's going to be really painful for the dog. We need to have the dog put down. So we went home, both the kids were in. So we all went to the vets to have the dog put down. Now, I know you guys, you know, you just take the dog around the back of the shooter. I don't know what you do, but it's a big deal. It's a big deal for us. And so we went into the vets, and the dog's on the counter, and we're all around the dog. And we said goodbye to the dog and we're stroking him. And he was in no pain and they injected the dog. And within seconds, he died. We left him. I got even more upset when I paid the vet's bill. £125, $150 to have the dog put down. I'd have shot him. In fact, I'd have brought him over. You shoot him. And so we had the dog. Now, this is important because all these things build together because God's going to ambush you in a minute because you think I'm just telling stories. That funny? So the dog's dead. So everything's fine. I went home. And I fell apart over a blooming dog. Yeah. I grieved more than I did when my own dad died over a blinking dog. Now, I have buried probably 100 people. I've buried children that have been 3 or 4 days old. I've been involved in horrendous things in people's world. And it's like I fell apart. Now, nobody would have known that. But inside, and I'm like going to God saying, God, what is up with me? It's a dog. What is up with me? It's a dog. Why do I feel like this? Even when my own dad died, I grieved for the night and then I was fine. And, you know, I miss my dad. But this dog, it just spooked me how much I fell apart. So I went to God and I said, God, why is this? Why do I feel like this? I'm a man of God. I'm leading great churches. And yet this little dog that we've had 10 years just gets put down and I fall apart. Why? And I felt God speak to me. Now, I'm not the kind of preacher that tells you God speaks to me every day and God says this and God says this. God doesn't have conversations with me like some preachers say. I often just feel a response. And the response I felt from God was this. You're not grieving over the dog. You're grieving over the season that the dog represented. You see, I bought the dog when our kids played in the paddling pool in the back garden with the dog, where we went for walks with my family, with the little kids as a dog, where we took the dog to the beach and Abigail and Oliver would run on the beach and the dog would chase them. And my kids and I don't need me anymore. And the dog was representative of that season of our family. And when the dog died, it was like something in me was grieving for a season in my life that had come to an end. Now, in this chapter, these few verses that we read from Joshua chapter 1, I want you to know that when this was penned, Moses had been dead probably between 1 to 3 years. This wasn't information when God says, Joshua, Moses is dead. He wasn't giving him an information. This wasn't an obituary. This was actually God pronouncing something over Joshua's life, which I'm going to pronounce over you in just a few minutes' time. It was like God saying, Joshua, Moses is dead. And this is not information. This is revelation. This season is over. The season of Moses is over. Now, Joshua, you have got to lead. And that's the reason it says 3 times, be strong and of great courage, be strong and very courageous. Because you know what it takes? One of the most courageous things you can ever do is close a season and create another. It's one of the most courageous things you can ever do, is to say, as good as it was, it's done. You see, the season of Moses was brilliant. It got them out of Egypt. And I'm grieving over this little dog, thinking it's all about the dog. It was nothing to do with the dog. The dog just represented something that for me was, my children don't need me anymore. They're not babies anymore. They're adults. We don't play in the back garden in the paddling pool. I don't sit down with my son cross-legged and we play Lego together. It would be weird. He's 6'1". I don't play with my daughter in the back garden because she's a 24-year-old lawyer. And I was grieving and not knowing. Now listen, my experience of 33 years of being a Christian and 30 years of being in leadership is this. The most courageous thing you can ever do is finish your season to start another. God will not start till we finish. And hear this to Joshua. It's not information, it's revelation. Moses, he's dead. And it was almost like Max is dead. That season's gone. Good, bad, or ugly, it's done. And yet I meet a lot of Christians who are pining for a past season. Well, oh, if only I could go back to how it was in my teenage years. No. It's dead. Doesn't mean it's bad. It's just dead. Yeah. And you know why I grieved over a dog more than my own dad is this. To me, the dog represented a season. I had no attachment to my own dad. Though he was the person that brought me into the world, I didn't have a great relationship and I didn't have any attachment. So when my dad died, it didn't affect my world massively, though I grieved and I loved him. And I want to declare over you in the spirit, because this is what I'm believing, is this. Before we can get to tonight, all today is culminating in this. The season you're in is about to finish. Because God's got a new season for you. Now listen, don't, because we're going to get Downton Abbey. How frustrating is it when you're watching it and it's coming to a really exciting bit and then the credits come on, you go, no, I can't leave it there. We've got to watch just one more. And this is what you've got to do. You press eject, you take the disc out, you get the next disc, you put it in, you press play. And I think God wants you to take the disc out because it's dead. And all your future is on a new disc. You see, when you buy a new set, each season's called something, isn't it? And your life is split into seasons, the early years. I think about my journey of the last 10 years of running King's Church and 11 years of since we started King's Church. If it was a box set of DVDs, I'd call the first few years the difficult years. Pioneering, no money, no people, no venues, no nothing, no credibility, the difficult years. And then I call the next years the years of slight breakthrough. And then we call more breakthrough. And then season four is this, and maybe we're in season five of seeing God do great things. And this is what I think God lets you do. The next season of your life hasn't been called yet anything. Now, Joshua chapter 1, we just read. This is what God said to Joshua. I will give you where you put your feet. He didn't tell him where to put his feet. He said, I'm okay with giving me what you want. Now, I know as Christians, and let me just offend you if I haven't already, I think there's too much stuff we pray about that God's not bothered. God's not bothered what car, what colour your car is. You can pray about it if you want it, but I don't think God's that bothered. I don't think God's that bothered about, do you have your hair short or long? Lord, speak to me. No, just do what you want. I think God's okay and secure enough in who he is to say to you, I'm going to give you where you place your feet. I'm cool at giving you the next season. I'm okay with what you want. Because if we believed everything that Pastor Andy's taught us over the sessions, is this. If we are a new creation, then we won't want selfish things. Then we won't want things just to please us. But we'll want godly things. We'll have godly longings. And I think God's okay with you calling the next season. So call it whatever you want it to be. So I'm calling my next season abundance. Why would you want to call it anything else? My next season is called Massive Breakthrough. My next season is called Multiplicity. Because the early seasons, they were called difficulty and struggle and everything. But why keep playing the same old disc? Why not take the disc out and say, look, I've lived that, and I've been through that, and I've brought myself to the place where you get a chance to put a new disc in, that God's got a better future for you, that you can start to call it and say, this is what is in my heart, God. This is what I want to do, God. So a couple came to see me a few years ago and they said, did God tell you to start a church? Now, I've been running it 11 years and with four campuses. I said, no, God has never told me to start church. I didn't hear a voice. I didn't hear it. I just thought, hold on, I want to win people for Jesus. What's the best way to do it? Start a church. My walk with God has always been this, and I don't expect this to be your walk with God, but this is, God, I'm going to do it. If you don't want me to do it, you're going to have to stop me. So I'm not waiting to hear something. I'm not waiting on the brush of an angel's wing. I intend to go and do it. God, you're going to have to slam that door closed, because I'm not waiting for God to speak to me. There's too much to do. And he's already said enough for us to be getting on with while we're, instead of wanting extra revelation and spirit. Now, I believe God can do that, but I believe there's too many Christians sat on their dearly beloved, waiting for God to speak to them, doing nothing with the intuition and the spirit that God wants to see come out of you into populate your world. So what, you know, if God said to you, well, I'll give you wherever you place your feet, name where you want to go. And I don't just mean, you know, I want to go to Hawaii. Name where you want to go. Start to name stuff. Start to call the next season what you want it to be. Put your stamp on it. God's, you know, how many people think God's so small, he's just so freaked out if you've got any ideas? Oh, you can't have any ideas. They all have to be mine. Well, hold on. I'm made in the image of God, and I have the mind of Christ. So hopefully, some of the ideas that come through me are actually God's ideas anyway. Now, I'm not God, but I've got the mind of Christ. So can you see? This is what I believe prophetically for you. And for all that God is going to do tonight, we need to nail this now, because it will really help. Because God's had us on a journey today. The season is over. Moses is dead. Let me tell you, if you're divorced, the person you married, they're not dead, but that season's dead. The season of when I was 15, we lived in revival, is dead. It's gone. The disc's been completed. You can keep watching the same disc and the same episode and wondering why there's no adventure in your faith, because you're watching reruns and repeats and reruns and repeats of what's already been, where God, the Holy Spirit, wants to help you take the disc out and put a new adventure in, because God has got something more for you. Moses is dead. But as I was with him, so I will be with you. You see, it looks like this. D.L. Moody's dead. He's dead. No, he's in heaven. We get that right. But it's gone. The season's done. He cannot influence America one jot, but you can. In our country, you know, Smith Wigglesworth is dead. And let me tell you, they write a lot of hogwash about some of these people. He's dead. He came, he lived, he's gone. But you're here. And we're here. And our role in where we are now spiritually is this, to say, the season's over. As he was with Moses, so he is with me. It's time to play the next season of my life. I'm 51. I know I only look 21, but, you know, you're probably saying, where does he work out and stuff like that, you know. Me and Andy use the same face cream. Roddy doesn't. He lives in Scotland. It's a very difficult climate. What's the next season? Well, for me, you know, I'm so excited that the next 10 years are not written. I get to call it something. I get to call it. I get to say to God, God, let's do this. Let's go here. Did God tell you to go to New York? No. Some places you don't have to pray about going, do you? When Andy said, do you want to come to New York? I went, let me pray about that. Yeah. If he'd have said, do you want to come to Islamabad? I'd have said, let me pray about that. No. But I heard there were guns And I heard there was beef burgers, and I heard there was great churches, and I heard you were going to be there. So I'm here all the way from England to tell you this. You can keep playing the old stuff, or you can create a new adventure, because Moses is dead. Yeah, the season's done. Yep. It's finished. And you got to take it out and say, hold on, could a new season start for me tonight? A new season could start for you tonight. But you know what you got to do? You got to call it dead. And I look back and we at home, we have a little photograph of Max and all our family around him on the mantelpiece. And I look back and the kids are young and they're in the paddling pool and the kids and think, I can't get that back. It's gone. But I can create a fantastic future for my grandkids so we can be in the paddling pool again with my grandkids. Because my kids, the season's over. Yes, I finish with this. I don't do a lot of counselling because I'm rubbish. I'm not a great counsellor. I'm more on the pull yourself together and get a life. That's usually my kind of counselling. So, you know, I'm very shallow. I'm not good at counselling. So don't come for me. I'm like, yeah, I don't know, whatever. I go talk to Roddy, he likes people and, you know, he spends lots of time. But I meet a lot of people who I want to say to them at the end of it, can we change the disc? Because you keep coming with the same thing again and again and again. And the reason why you've not got an adventure and you've not got the new thing is this, and this is my final illustration. If you ever get to go to London, and why wouldn't you? Because England is the greatest country in the world. And if you don't go at some point in your lifetime, you're probably not a Christian. It's all there in Deuteronomy. But if you go to London or any big train station, you see trains coming in and trains going out all the time. They come in, they go out, they come in. Me and Andy and Roddy were at Penn Station in New York just recently, and it's just like that. And I was sat having a coffee at, I think it's Waterloo Station in London, and I was waiting for a train, and I watched people get on and get off, get on and get off for about an hour. And I felt the Holy Spirit speak to me about the whole thing of this. If you're on a journey, particularly your Christian journey, there's going to have to be more than one thing you get on and get off. Mm-hmm. And what happens for many Christians, we pull into the station of getting nearer and we sit on the train praying about where we're going. But God's saying, can we get off and get on the train over there? Because you're praying about going there, but in order to go there, you need to get off this, you need to walk across the platform, you need to get on another train because I am doing something new. Do you not perceive it? So I'm not talking about, you know, doing something new, leaving a church. I'm not talking about a geographical thing. I'm just talking about leaving stuff in here and saying, I'm leaving that now. I'm walking across the platform and I'm getting on a new train in a new journey. How foolish would it be to sit on a train that was going to London, pull into London Station and then say, I'm going to Paris. Yeah, but this train's not. But I'm going to Paris. No, but this train's finished here. But I'm going to Paris. Would say, you're an idiot. And you need locking up. Well, I meet Christians in churches all over the world. I'm going to do this. This train ain't going there. This train's finished because Moses is dead. Good. Time to get off Moses, cross over, and get on Joshua. Because Joshua is going where you want to do. And to get out of Egypt to the promised land, took Moses and Joshua. And I'm declaring over your life, and look at me now, because I'm declaring, I mean it with all my heart, for everybody that's prepared to believe this, this season's over. The season that you've been through, I'm calling it over, and you can call the next season. Oh, am I presuming upon God? Is God that insecure? Come on, call it. Oh, well, I don't know. Well, let me call it for you. Blessed. Healthy. Breakthrough, buildings, abundance, finance, ministry, opportunities, influence, call it what you want to call it. And God's saying, wherever you put your feet, I'm going to give you. What would have happened, and I promise I'm finished with this because time has gone. If God had said to Joshua, wherever you put your feet, I'll give you. And Joshua said, well, I don't feel led of the Lord. I'll tell you what, if God said to me, wherever you put your feet, I'll give you, I'd be like this. I'd get my feet everywhere. And it's time for us as a church to get busy. Get busy. Let's get busy on the next season. Listen, time is going. Time is going. The train's calling. The train's calling saying, is there anybody else? Because we're leaving. This opportunity is not forever. And you've got to get off the train. And some of us, it's like leaving something that we love. We've got to say, it's like David when his son had died because of his own sin. And the day when he had to get up from the corpse and walk away, the Bible says he went into the temple and he washed, he ate food, he put on clean clothes and he worshipped God. You've got to leave what's dead because it's just done, it's over. And it could be a marriage that didn't work, it could be a business, it could be a series of health issues, it could be a massive thing in your family. But call it, it's dead, it's over. There's no life in it anymore. It's time for an adventure. Okay. So this is what we're going to do. Because time is gone. We're just going to pray dead simply. We're not going to try and create a big moment. Because tonight is going to be a phenomenal night. Don't sit on the settee and go, oh, I'm tired. Get out of here. Come tired. Get 3 Red Bulls, neck them, and get here. That will really help the worship. This is how I'm going to pray. We're not even going to bow and close our eyes. Season's over. Season's over. It's over. Yeah, it's over. Season's done. It's dead. It's gone. The disc's coming out because the next one's going in because the next season. Ho, ho, ho. You want to see what the next season in your journey is called. And all the pain of the past will be replaced by the wonder of what God is about to do in you and with you if you just stay on the potter's wheel as we talked in the last session. So this is my prayer for you. Take the disc out. Moses is dead. This is your moment. And the rest of your life and the next season of the box set, it starts tonight with a new you, with a new focus. No more riddled with all the regrets. No more riddled with all the doubts. No more riddled with all the good and the bad and the ugly. But just a fabulous, explosive future for you, for your family, for your children. Let's believe God and call our next box set what it is. Father, thank you for these wonderful people. Thank you for this wonderful church. Thank you for everything you're doing. And Father, I'm calling new box sets all over our lives tonight. I'm calling this is a new day. This is a new adventure. This is time to get off the train that came into the station and cross the station and get on the new train of where you're going. Father, thank you today that this is a Joshua generation, that Moses is dead. We thank you for Moses, but we're not going to hang out with the corpse. We're going to go and move forward into the fullness of what you have for us, because we ask it in the precious, precious name of Jesus. And all God's people said, amen.